Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
If this is your first time listening, stop.
Go
back and watch all of Grey's Anatomy. We deep dive all the episodes and we are a spoilers podcast, so we don't want to spoil you.
Right.
Also,
if you have seen all of Grey's, you can continue to listen.
Yes, you may. Green light.
Or if you don't care about spoilers.
Exactly. Also, if you want to support us and help us continue to put out the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. We have bonus episodes, monthly Zoom hangouts, private Facebook group, a holiday mail, which I haven't heard. Did people get it?
Yeah, I heard from a few people that they got it. So, and I got one. Did you get one?
No, I should have added myself to the list.
Oh, I thought for some reason Jake was.
My mom and dad get one.
Yeah, but I get one every year, or John does. So, because it would be
John's a patron.
Well, I think he stopped because we now have the same bank account. So,
how dare.
I would be giving you $5 every month.
That'd be fun. But yeah, it's really fun. We really love our patrons, especially now that Grey's is gearing up to start again. It's a great way to talk about the show with people who care about the show.
Yes. You can also follow us on Instagram at The On Call Room Pod. And then we did get a few new reviews.
Ooh.
I think we bumped up to a 4.8.
Are you going
to
share one?
Oh, sure.
Or are they not shareable?
No, they're very shareable. In fact, yeah, there was one that was really nice. And so I'll just bippity bop on over to this.
I was listening to an old episode of ours, trying to think about to hear about our thoughts on the Alex leaving, like back when it happened.
Uh-huh.
And it was the episode that we read a very bad review.
Oh.
That we were going to make t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
I got to remember what it said, but I still think that'd be a funny t-shirt.
Two stars. I remember that they were not pleased. But this is from our friend B.
Perfect. Oh.
Still in love with The On Call Room. So many things to say about this podcast, to which I've been devotedly listening for 3 years now. I wrote a review a while ago, but Bree and Abby, witty, kind, and above all, the role model for a loving female friendship, took their show to a new level this week when they brought us on a mattress road trip. No spoilers here. You have to listen to howl along with them. If you love Grey's Anatomy as much as I do, if you've been watching it for half of your lifetime as I have, if you're grieving its slow and painful demise, then you need Abby and Bree to keep your love alive and nurse this show to its bitter end. Whether they are talking about Grey's or their own lives, and these days we just really want them to keep talking about their own lives, smoke show firefighters, holiday decorating, church houses. They make every moment the perfect distraction from the real life stress we are all experiencing. I hope that Grey's makes its graceful exit soon, but I pray that The On Call Room stays in my life for the long haul.
Oh, I feel like I cannot stress it enough that I feel like you people hear us say we love our listeners, but like, that's not just said in jest. Like,
no, like
every time we leave a Zoom call and like B is just such an incredible human, I leave feeling incredibly grateful for these people.
Yeah. I also feel like B has healed something in me.
Yeah.
Like the way that she like talks about being a teacher and a mom and just like has, since she found us, been so supportive of us. Like,
it's giving us permission to rest.
Yeah. And just like things that I'm like, you really healed something in me that I didn't know I needed healed. So thank you, B.
Also, shout out to B's son who made an appearance at the last Zoom. I hope you know how cool your mom is.
Yes.
Play this for him.
Should I read one more?
Sure. Why not?
This just came in on Tuesday.
Ooh.
And this is from KaiM89. Love, love, love. 10 scalpels all around. Could not say enough good things about this podcast. In the most recent episode, the girls mentioned feeling lost when their favorite podcasts have ended, as they feel like the hosts are their friends. Well, I have to say, I would feel the exact same way if this podcast ended. I've been listening for years from the beginning of this podcast and truly feel like these girls are two of my best friends. You're our best friend too. Which sounds creepy because we have never met. We'll meet someday. Anyway, I highly recommend to anyone who loves Grey's Anatomy as much as I do. Lots of literal laugh out loud moments. And I love the deep, ooh, this says doves, but I think they meant dives. But I like deep doves.
I like doves. Deep doves also.
Yeah, those chocolates, 100%. I hope these girls keep doing what they are doing because they are the best.
Oh, wow.
really lifting our spirits.
Honestly, what keeps us going.
Yeah. So Abby knows, and I'm not going to get like too deep in the weeds with this, but I have been fragile.
If we go too deep, we'll both fall apart.
We'll both start crying. I've just been so fragile these past couple of weeks. I was texting Abby last night and I was like, I just can't stop crying. And I was watching the Alex episode, which that's what we're going to get into in a little bit here. And I was like, I don't think I am in the right headspace to be watching this. Cause even if it was bad, and I don't know, we'll talk about it. Like, I don't think I could be able to think that because I was just so fragile. And I don't know if anyone else is feeling that. I feel like other people are.
Yeah.
And one of our friends, I think it was our friend Chris, said something like astrologically is going on, that like literally every sign is like going through a major change right now. I feel it, you know, I just feel it so deep within me. And I think it's important to talk about these things. And John had some really good advice the other day. I came home from class and I was really anxious and stressed out. And he was like, do you think it would be a good idea for you to journal this year? Like, and I haven't journaled in a really long time. I used to do it a lot. And I was like, that's like really good advice, John. And he was like, not only to just like get it out on the page and get it out of your body, but like for some perspective, like in a couple months, you could go back and read and see how far you've come. Cause I think we forget the progress that we make. And that's why I'm like speaking to this. Cause sometimes I'll go back and listen to the podcast and be like, wow, I was really in a space, or like we were like planning our wedding and it was COVID and super stressed out, or like all these different challenges that you're faced with, there is like hopefully a way through them. And it's...
Journaling is scary because you have to like, you have to hear and see the things that are causing the anxious storm.
Yes.
Like sometimes when they're in the storm, it feels like they're not quite real, but it's like putting words to them. But then I do think there is a level of relief. This is the cheesiest piece of inspiration.
Okay.
But I cry every time on my Peloton when Robin Arsone says, you've made it through 100% of your bad days. I literally, I don't know why, but I just am like, I have, like, is it true? Like, and I just, that always hit. So it's kind of like, yeah, to see the progress, see that like you did make it through that.
Yeah. And not to say, like, not to diminish like the journey and how fucking hard it is. And yeah. So just, if you're going through shit right now, you're not alone.
It's the planets.
It's the planet. It's you. It's your, no, it's like, you're not alone. I think that it can feel, I've just felt very like.
Fragile is the best word. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
It's, well, for me, it's like the emotion cup is right on the edge, and like the smallest thing could make it fall over.
Yeah. It's like my tipping thing when I'm like laughing and then all of a sudden I'm crying. Like, yeah. I feel like if we had a really big laugh moment tonight, it could happen at any moment.
And also this episode was, I felt like I was happy to be in a similar mind watching it because it made it better.
I think
like,
so too.
Lean into the emotion.
Yes. I felt less cynical about it, I guess, because I was looking at it from the perspective of, like, this is one of our favorite characters, like last episodes. It is the last episode and wrapping up storylines. And instead of being like, I tried to come from it and like look at the things I really liked instead of being like, well, he didn't get this or, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about those things too. But I tried to really come from it of a framework of like, what did they do well in this episode?
And I'm sorry, I'm kind of like jumping. I really felt like everything that I tried to be like, well, but this, they like really closed a lot of loopholes.
They did.
So we'll talk about that. We also didn't decide post-op, and this is a behind the scenes moment all of you.
We didn't discuss that. It might just have to be mystery.
It might just be a bonus moment that we're unsure of what it is.
Yeah. So
stick around.
Yeah. So sorry about that we forgot to do that, but it's hard to choose.
I don't want to cut anything out of this.
No. So Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we'll talk about bowling.
Yeah, that's true. What if we could? I have a lot to say. What if we were like, we're not going to talk about his letter to Meredith?
Yeah. You have to be a $10 patron.
Yeah. Can we just jump in? I feel like it's a good, I feel like it's an episode I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, so this is season 16, episode 16. Again, we talked about this last week, but we're only doing this episode tonight. Yep. It's called Leave a Light On.
I have that song in my head. But I think that's
Is it Maggie Rogers?
Yeah, but that's Leave the Light On.
This is by Tom Walker.
Yeah,
I cheated.
But that's all I can hear in my head.
Yeah.
I almost said Maggie Smith.
I cry. Don't talk about that song. I cry every time I listen to it. I remember one time it was in a yoga class was the first time I heard it. And we were in like a hip opener and I was just weeping. Like, okay, I'll leave the light on.
Yeah. Oh, I thought of you today.
Were you crying?
I cried on my Peloton because similar to a hip opener where you're just like kind of in pain and your emotions are, I was doing a ride where it does like 4 minutes of really hard work. And it's like very mental and whatever. And the song that was playing was the Celine Dion song. There are nights when the wind was so. And like, I was picturing you guys singing karaoke. I was feeling the lyrics and I was,
And you started crying.
Oh yeah. And even the instructor did. That's she was beautiful. Like, sometimes you're just feeling things.
I have a question about Peloton because I don't have one.
Yeah.
Do they ever do like live ones?
Oh, yeah. They're all live.
Oh, they are all
and
live.
And then they're saved.
And then they're saved. Yep. Got you. Mm-hmm. So you can go back. So sometimes you ride once.
I do live ones once in a while.
Yeah.
They're always a little empowering because it's like thousands of people.
Yeah.
Are there? I did the turkey ride. Thanksgiving
that's fun.
One is my favorite. And I did a New Year's Eve one that they did earlier in the day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they are.
I need your login.
Yeah, actually, the friend that used to use it and doesn't anymore, I deleted her. So
great,
you have full access. I'll give it to you tonight.
What if I just like sat on my couch and did like a ride and just my legs?
There's meditations.
No, I know I'm going to do something that's not a ride. What if I just sat and watched a ride?
I'm pretty sure I'm throwing someone under the bus here. Pretty sure our friend Chris Lewis has watched a ride.
Oh, I'm like, so my mom. She's talked about like back when we were all kids, like, and she would, you know, and life was wild and she would put us down for a nap or whatever. And she would turn on like an exercise video and just sit and watch it.
Oh, I get that.
Like, I'm like, I can't.
But I'm trying.
But I'm really trying. Okay. So monologue. Do you want me to read it? Do we want a popcorn?
You go for it.
Okay. There's an old joke doctors like to tell. Hey, doc, it hurts when I go like this. And the doctors say, well, don't go like this. It's a lame joke, but it's nonetheless true. As human beings, we can't help but want to follow our instincts, to follow our guts, our primal urges. No matter how much it may hurt, we hold on to hope, thinking one small detail, one tiny piece of information will somehow make things right, make it different, make it okay, stop the world from spinning off its axis. When the truth is, there's really no good way to say goodbye. Meredith Gray.
We don't have any patients in this episode. And for rounds, I'm just going to say Alex Karev gives his final goodbye via letters sent to Meredith, Joe, Bailey, and Richard. I was going to summarize it, but we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I just didn't feel it was necessary.
So first notes.
My first note is, okay. It's kind of out there. It was when Joe gets her letter from Link.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, Link helping Joe in this moment makes me think the only solution to this is them getting together.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I just feel like he's the one that delivers that note. He's there for her in this time. It could, to me, that would like be an okay ending for her.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Mine's not as cool or insightful. It's, oh, wow. We are taking it back. Flashing back. Mm-hmm. But then my next note is, here's Ben. It seems like him and Bailey are not speaking.
Yes. He's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. And at first I thought maybe, is it Joey? Mm-hmm. I thought Joey was asleep and I was like, that's not very nice. Yeah, Bailey said they have another bed.
Okay. Let's actually, can we quickly just cause it does, well, no, we'll get there.
Okay.
I was going to jump to that. I love the Ben and Bailey moment at the end of this episode. I feel like it's the only part that wasn't really about Alex, but it was like squeezed into this and it was brilliant. Okay. Overall thoughts. What are your overall time watch this time?
So, well, first of all, what I want to say, I was considering like trying, and I put some notes in here of like writing about every single flashback and like doing the work of figuring out what episodes. And then I just said, fuck it. I'm not doing that.
No.
That's too complicated. But it is a, and you know how we feel about flashbacks. It is a heavy flashback episode.
So many. And you see his whole character arc.
Yeah. And so there were definitely some parts that we'll get to that I didn't like love, but overall, it was really like, it was a very nostalgic episode because mm-hmm. of, besides like the flash forward scenes, which we'll talk about those
like the
too.
Children?
Mm-hmm. But I felt like, I felt really emotional throughout all of it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I felt like I was looking for reasons to be like, he wouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which is, you know, kind of been our mindset this whole time is like, it just doesn't, he wouldn't leave Joe, whatever. And while I do still believe had Justin Chambers not wanted to leave the show, he would have stayed with Joe. Like I did feel like every loophole I tried to find, they like, even like my biggest one was like, how would Joe ever understand? But the flashback to Joe seeing her birth mom and like Alex talking about that scene where it showed him going to see his mom who literally like left him for mm-hmm. years because of her mental health, like all these things, like it, I felt like, and I was feeling optimistic while watching this, that Joe would understand as being someone who has felt abandonment and had to overcome it. Like abandonment at her core, where like she doesn't even remember being left at a station, but she was. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like that loophole, like he's not wrong in saying that like you of all people, like I think the quote is, it took me a minute. Anyways, I thought I wrote it, but I didn't. But just that, like, I really think that she, how he loves two women, I feel like she can also understand him and be mad at him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He says, like, he loves Joe deeply still. I think I always will. And if it was just about two women I love, yes, I'd choose my wife. He says that in Meredith's uh-huh. letter. I thought it was interesting. I feel like they spent the most time on the letter with Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let's just start there. Yeah, let's go letter by letter because it goes along with my notes then.
Did you realize in the lyrics of that first song, which I should know the song, but I don't, it said shiny, happy people.
Oh no, I didn't.
Which I felt like was such like a, I feel like Christine and Mare say like, we're not shiny, happy people.
Yeah.
Like I'll look up the song, but that was really interesting. That was playing during Mare's letter.
Yeah. So it starts out by, he says he's already left. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm gone. And it's not about work or you or Joe. It's about me. I left and I'm with Izzy. And then Mara's face is kind of like an oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
fuck. All of their faces when it said Izzy, especially Bailey's,
yeah,
was great.
So
all of the Alex Meredith in the bed scenes, like he talks about like, coming in, like she always had the right thing to say and would show up on my bed, even whatever I wanted. And like, there was just this montage of moments of the two of them together, either on a bed or on the floor.
Yes.
It was so beautiful.
I think overall the episode did a really good job. And I don't have, once I get to some examples in later letters, I feel like what he was writing, they did a really good job flashing back to explain what he was writing.
Yes, like, the flashbacks made sense.
Yes. So like, yeah, for instance, like the bed like scene, or there was like when he's talking to Joe about being like a parent. And there's also, he says this line no matter what you go through, you never let it hold you back. Sorry, I know I'm skipping to a letter,
yeah, no,
but so during, while he's saying that, we see her with Paul, her ex. Mm-hmm. Then we see her mom trying to grab her mom's hand. And then we see her being with a patient, that patient who was sexually uh-huh. assaulted. And then we see her going in inpatient and like throwing stuff at the wall. So like it showed like all of this in one concise thing of all this really difficult stuff Joe has gone through, while he's saying, no matter what you go through, like you never, it never holds you back. And I feel like there were a lot of moments like that through this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Like when I think about flashbacks in like the season 18 finale versus how they use them in this episode. The season 18 finale was like just like a shower of
flashbacks
that didn't make sense. And this one, it felt so purposeful, which I think they had to be because they were like, this is really big. We're going to piss a lot of people off if we don't do like our due diligence. And I feel like I wish they had that much care because it felt like even like all the scenes where he's talking about like jizzing in a cup, essentially, like how it just blew my mind. I remember thinking like, whoa, I forgot those scenes existed.
Right.
Where he was like, this isn't how we were supposed to have children.
Yes.
It just like, it. I don't know. It just really made sense.
So something that clicked for me in this episode, because I could not remember for the life of me. I'm like, why did he even get in contact with Izzy?
Oh, the case.
And so it was because of the trial. And they pretty much like explained that right away that like, Mare, I called all those doctors to write letters about you, I called Izzy. I really also like that in the letter he says, like, I want to say like I didn't want to call her, but I did.
It was an excuse. It was finally giving him an excuse to do it.
Exactly. And so he's always wondered. I thought it was great when they pulled in all of the scenes with like Joe talking about Izzy too.
Like, you should call her.
Yes. Like that whole episode where that one patient reminded him and him telling Joe like, it's better to make up a story than to wonder. I feel like was true for him, but he still, like when he finally had an opportunity that allowed him to actually find out that's what he really wanted.
It was also interesting to me how similar what he had imagined for her, how almost accurate that it was.
Mm-hmm.
He said in the woods somewhere and he said has kids.
He said three kids.
Married with kids. And I just also like the part that where he covered his base saying like, Izzy asked what I wanted her to do with the embryos and he like didn't care. Or he said he gave her permission to have them, I guess.
Because I think that would be a big argument too is like—
The consent.
Yes. And he talks about, or they wrote it in there that he's like, I didn't even know what to do. So I just—
Right.
I just gave up or gave them to her.
There's that part. I think Joe says a bunch of Izzy babies walking around with your face.
Yes. I have that in big letters. Izzy babies walking around with your face on them.
I think it's when they're fighting about, she's like, am I just the girl with the dog? Like, you don't have kids with me. You would do it with Izzy, but not me. And which that wasn't the case, obviously. But like, just the fact that Joe once said that there are Izzy babies walking around with your face.
Yeah. And he says to Joe too, you know, he needs to give these kids, like we talked about, the family neither of them had.
Yeah, that was the quote that I couldn't find.
And then I guess the logic of like, well, why couldn't he do this in person? In his letter, he says he can't look her in the eye because he wouldn't be able to walk away. Mm-hmm. So he went to a lawyer, signed divorce papers, and left his shares to her at Grace Sloan.
And everything. Like his—
Yes. She got everything. I know it had to be done this way, but like, it's still so complicated to me that like, he just up and leaves and like literally
jumps into Izzy's bed. That was the only part I didn't. There's like the scenes where he's like, the kids come up to us in the middle of the night. And I'm like, so you're already in bed with her.
Yeah. Oh, right.
That was the part that I was a little like,
yeah, whoa. Like you haven't like got divorced yet or anything or told anyone. You've like already started living this life.
Right. Like you already like slept in the same bed as her, which is crazy.
The other thing that like, another thing I didn't really love is the part where he says like, this isn't home anymore to Meredith. Yeah. And like, again, I feel like, take out what I'm saying. Like, I understand this is a fucking TV show and they had to write it in a certain way. But what bothers me about it is like, it feels very unhealthy that like, you have to cut out everyone in your life.
Oh, it's very.
Like, in order to live this other life.
Which like, he did invite Meredith to visit, but he said, but if you're coming to tell me to come, like to come back, please don't come.
Please don't come.
Which that was like, I think their way of covering bases. Yeah. Is like telling Joe, like, I couldn't see you because I wouldn't have left. And to tell Meredith, like, the last part of the letter is him being like, please don't tell me not to do this.
Right.
Like it's like he knows he shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
But he's doing it anyways. Which he says something like how I just know that this is what I'm supposed to, like, what is this? I wanted to look him straight in the eye. Oh no, that's what Richard says. Oh, actually, well, that kind of fits it. Is Richard saying, I wanted to look him straight in the eye and yell at him and tell him that he made a mistake, that it feels like a mistake. I've been there before. I've fallen in love with two people at the same time. And I know all you can do is go with what your bones and your guts and your hearts tell you. But then he says the part about, but I would have given anything to have those years back with Maggie. So even that goes back to support what Alex is doing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The tie into the Alice Richard of it all is kind of incredible.
Well, yeah. When he says like he missed his own chance to watch his own child grow into an adult. The part that is really sad, he says he just wanted to say goodbye. And then he says like, don't get me wrong. Like he's like done his fair share of leaving. Another perfect moment while he's saying that, they're showing the carousel scene of like Ellis screaming, Richard. Yeah. Like there were like
and Catherine and him fighting. Isn't there like
yes. Yeah. So it's like
both of
Yeah. So I feel like even when they weren't talking about the letter specifically, like when Richard's talking about his reaction to it, like the flashbacks. And they weren't all just flashbacks of Alex, I guess. Like
it
they
wasn't
used,
just Alex and Richard interacting.
It was like so many different flashbacks of different people and things. They're at when he writes Bailey and says, like, I'm a really good surgeon. Like, I'm a freaking good surgeon.
Cried.
Like, and then it shows all of these moments that he was a great surgeon and like
him
a great
shirtless
peds,
holding the baby.
And a great peds surgeon.
That is when I got teary, is when he says, it took me a long time to say it, but I am a good ped surgeon. Because also, it is so hard to admit that sometimes that you are good at something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Alex, like he says, every teacher he ever had beat him down and said that he wouldn't amount to anything. And not only does he believe that like Bailey believes in him, but he finally believes he is a good surgeon. He's like, I may not be the best person, but I am a good ped surgeon. I thought that was like, I thought about Arizona, like hearing that, like that he believes in himself. And I don't know. I liked that part.
Yeah. I thought it was a really nice moment. Some of the things I didn't like in Miranda's letter were like the weird, like, I don't know. I just felt like the writing was cheesy or like if I like could tell you all the ways you changed me, well, I can't because my hand hurts from writing. Yeah. You know, like I felt like Meredith's was really long. Joe's was long. But then like Richard and Bailey's got quite short. And I know it's a whatever minute episode, but I feel like as Miranda, I would be kind of like, that's all you're going to say? Is like,
I wish we could have heard Richard's also. We don't get to see it because he crumples it.
Yeah.
I will say the thing with Bailey, the flashbacks, I really loved the one where she's hanging her photo back up as chief, but Alex's is right next to her. And like that little thing, the two scenes next to each other where one is he parks his trailer in her parking spot and he's like brushing his teeth. And then the flashback following that was him pulling into the chief spot and waving to her.
Yes.
Like I felt like that was really great placement. Also that he said, I love you, Dr. Bailey. Like
I know.
Feel like he doesn't say that often.
You know, what's interesting. He addresses Dr. Miranda Bailey and to Meredith and Joe. It's to Joe Karev and Meredith Gray, not doctor. I don't know why that was very interesting to me, but.
No, I noticed that. Also, did you notice Meredith was from Evil Spawn?
Yes.
Which like that flashback of Christina walking in her underwear and he's like, nice, whatever, honey's. And she goes, in your dreams, Evil Spawn. I will say, and I know you've been trying to get me to rewatch Old Grays lately, this episode made me want to.
Yeah.
Like, there were scenes from the early ones that like I have very much forgotten.
Yeah.
And like I think I'd like to watch through when Izzy leaves. Like.
So up till 5.
Does she leave the same season as George? She leaves right after.
Like, yeah. She's like in the beginning of 6.
Yeah. So like those first 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Because I just like forgot all the, I forgot how sleazy he was.
Oh, yeah. He
like
was
gross.
Like
that scene with Meredith when she shoves him against the wall
yeah.
in the locker room. I also forgot, too, like, Well, I mean, Izzy and him were for a couple less than him and Joe have, I'm pretty sure. But like, they really were a couple for a while. Like, I mean, like you I forget about their wedding. You just, they did have a really big history. The part when Izzy kept saying to him, and this makes me cry in that season too, is when she says, "I care about you."
Yeah.
And she keeps repeating it.
Mm-hmm. Like the flashbacks of all the Izzy moments. And then the one, like, I think it's like Ingrid Michaelson. It's like the song that plays on their wedding. And then we hear his like speech or his vows to her. Mm-hmm. And like all of the different moments that they were together. I guess because you kind of forget that like they get together in the first season, second season, mm-hmm. you know, like very early on. And then he cheats on, he cheats on her. Or sleeps with Nurse Olivia. But like the scene where like he comes into the bar and dips her and kisses her.
Yes.
And it's like, I remember that was at the end of the episode and the way like Christina like looks at, they just like go to drinking. And I don't know. It just like, it made me miss those like core characters. Mm-hmm. And it really feels like the end of something. I know we say this every time we lose a character, but like, this was one of the last ones.
This was a big one.
Yeah.
Like this was a hit.
Yeah.
Because even like, you know, Jackson leaving after season 17 was definitely like, it sucks, but it doesn't feel even as big as this.
No, because he was there with Meredith in the very beginning.
And also, I mean, the only people that got letters besides not including Joe is everyone who's been on the show since the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is also, okay, who says this? Because I remember being like, whoa, was, I think Alex, is he saying it to Izzy? I don't want to be the future of this hospital if you're not here with me. I think he says that to Izzy.
Yes, he does.
Way early, like when he is not even close to being the future of the hospital.
Yeah, no, he says that to her while she has
cancer.
Yeah, but she doesn't know yet. And she's like seeing the ghost of Denny.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because he was, in my opinion, on the path to becoming the future of the hospital.
Yep.
So it's like, even that lines in. I was really emotional during that scene when Meredith is sitting with him and he's just ranting about Izzy having cancer and like, this isn't how this was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know. Like, I just like, and they look so young mm-hmm. in that scene. And just to think about like, that they're still each other's, oh, so many lines. Like Christina was your person and then I was your person, but you have always been your own damn person.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I have something to read about that from
Ooh, okay.
a listener. I asked if I could read it. So Chris said this about the episode and it has to do with that. So first thing he said, the saddest thing is just that it sucks that Alex could only be that, is it demonstrative with his feelings towards Bailey and Richard when he is no longer there.
Right.
And to me, it also marked just the end of Meredith Grey. So this is a hot take for you. His saying, "You've always been your own person," feels so untrue to the show and who she is. Meredith can be a boss bitch and need a person. That's the core of the show. Yeah. I think the definitive line on Meredith is what Amelia says to her at one point. "You're the least alone person I've ever known," in the sense that Meredith has built community even while seemingly being sort of cold and hard to get to know. So the show saying like, oh, you're good on your own feels sad to me because he asks, is she? Mm-hmm. And then he also said that Joe saying she's her own hero made him very emotional.
Me too.
But I think that's a really good point. And I asked if I could read that because I didn't want to like take that as my own, like take credit for that. But I see what they were trying to say, like, and try and make it okay for us. But it does feel like it goes very much against the canon of Grey's Anatomy.
100%. The whole show was built on her friendship with Christina and her relationship with Derek. And
right.
just the community house.
Right. And then when Christina leaves, it's like, well, you are now my person. And like Evil Spawn, you have to be Meredith's person.
Right.
And then he's like, you're your own damn person. It's like, no, she couldn't have gotten through anything without all of her people.
It's like the show was trying to set us up for us to be like, yeah, she is.
Yeah, like she's this independent surgeon and woman.
But that's
woman.
Not why we watch the show, to watch one person not have...
friends.
It's like the opposite of Friends.
Yeah.
It's alone. It's like alone.
It doesn't make any sense. So that was one of the parts that I didn't love. I feel like they were trying to like empower us as viewers of like, look at our main character. She's going to be fine with Alex gone. But like,
I feel like it could have even been, you'll find a new person. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
or like, I'll be your person from here. Like, you can call me whenever or something, you know? But instead it was just like, you're your own person and I'm not going to be in your life anymore.
Exactly. I would say in contrast to the way that Joe, Link says, you're my hero. And she says, me too. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like Joe and Meredith are very different people.
Yes.
And Joe has done a lot of things on her own.
Yeah.
And like, that felt really true. And I agree, the other one did not as much.
I also feel like they could do a similar thing of what they've done with Christina, where they just put text up on the screen from...
Yeah, why don't they...
From Karev. Like, they could have set it up in this way of like, we'll stay in touch. Like, you are always going to be my person. But like, I have to like build a family out here. Just like you got to build a family. Like,
right.
I want to build my family. And then like once in a while get like a text from Karev or something.
Yeah, I would have loved that because it really like, also the fact that Meredith's just not mad about it. She's like explaining it to Zola.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been like, what the fuck? My best friend just left me.
Yeah, like imagine if I did that to you or you did that to me. Like I wouldn't be like, oh, he's just living her
she's
life.
She's just going to understand.
Yeah, like she's just.
No.
No, I would be like, this is extremely hurtful.
Right.
And what the fuck are you doing?
right, yeah. I will say I was really surprised by, not surprised, but I kind of liked the moment when he says to Bailey, like, you're probably not the person to ask for a recommendation, whatever. But Bailey says something like, especially after the recommendation I'm going to send. Like, mm-hmm. She is going to send a recommendation. She wants him to work at this Shawnee Memorial and be the head of PEDS.
Oh, I thought it was interesting too that Izzy is a surgical oncologist.
Yeah, loved that.
And okay, so what do we think though, just in general of like, how would you feel if you found out you had two kids and no one told you? Like, he seems so
grateful.
Well, happy to jump into whatever.
Well, he says that somewhere in the quote, something like, you'd think I would have been upset, but all I am is grateful that she made them. That's like the quote he says.
It's just odd.
It's a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, and I don't have kids, so I have no idea, but like, how do you be mad when these two humans exist that are a half of you? Like, I think you can be mad at Izzy.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not even saying that. I would be mad at Izzy of like, I've missed the first 5 years of their life.
Yeah,
like, you didn't tell me, you didn't even give me a choice. And I'm grateful to be here now. And
right.
But like,
he still missed 5 years.
You missed five very formative years, the first 5 years of your children's life. Like, that wouldn't make me want to jump into bed with the person.
No, I hope this isn't like too hot of a take. This is like in a different way. I really felt like those children were well cast.
Oh, yeah.
That little, whenever they zoomed in on like the little girl's face or thing, I like felt things. I was like, who are these babies? I don't know. There was something about the way that it filmed. I don't know. It was an interesting way of filming it. They've never done something like that on Grey's.
No.
I felt like, it didn't look like old school, like the carousel scenes that are like flashbacks. It looked like this weird, dreamy.
It was very whimsical.
Yeah, it felt very different. I felt like it worked. I do wish that we'd have seen real Izzy and real Alex.
Yeah, I think that would have.
Like Izzy entering the door, would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah. I wish we could have seen them interact together because I think that would make it more like realistic and believable.
Agreed.
And I know that for certain reasons, I can't do that.
Did the names Eli and Alexis have anything to do with anything? Eli was that nurse's name, but there's no way. Like, I was trying to think like...
Alex, Alexis.
Oh. Oh.
And Eli isn't...
Oh, but Alex. Oh, that makes me a little emotional.
Emotion. I'm a little emotional. What was it? There was one other part. Oh, when he first started talking, and I heard Alex's voice, I got very emotional.
I know. I'm glad they at least got him to do that voiceover.
Yeah.
Because it was also, I felt like it was, I personally felt, sometimes I'm a bad judge. I felt like it was very well acted. Like, the tone Alex, of his voice.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
There's even the part when he's talking to Bailey and he gets wobbly. Like his voice.
Yeah.
It's before he says, I love you, Bailey, Dr. Bailey. He says something. Oh, it's the I'm a good peds surgeon. That part, like his voice gets very shaky.
Yeah.
I wonder and I what imagine, that was like for him to do that.
Well, and I imagine it's like really hard to act when you are just probably in a studio reading.
For sure.
Yeah. And he did, I thought he did a really good job.
And I felt like Meredith's tears felt realistic too.
Yes.
I mean, she's saying goodbye to, I believe they're friends in real life also. So yeah. Like that might've been hard. I mean, again, I also think it's the downfall of Ellen Pompeo. Like she lost one of her last friends on the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like after that, she kind of just phoned it in. And so I feel like that might've been, I can imagine that being on a show with someone for that long and then finding out that they had the choice to just go. Like, I don't think Meredith is able to just, now she is. But like, I don't think she could have left the way Justin Chambers left.
Yeah. So, okay. I remember when we recorded, I can't remember when this was. Was it right before the trial episode? Is that when he said he wasn't coming back?
Yeah. We found out in between, before this episode happened and after the trial. Because so we found out, we were like, wait. So there was like, the trial was the last one he's going to be on.
And so did they then have that short amount of time to write this episode?
That's my guess. To piece, there's no way they did this in like a whole season warning.
No, no. So I do think they did the best that they could with what they had.
Here's
the question though, after watching it again for a second time, do you feel like he should have been killed?
Part of me feels more closure in hearing him talk about his leaving than just like thinking about like how Derek died and there was no like last words to Meredith or anything. Like, part of me appreciates, and we get the answer of what happened to Izzy.
Yep.
The whole show should have then ended very soon after.
Yeah.
Like,
I still, after watching this,
think he should die.
I think he should have died.
Yeah.
Or like, I think, didn't you mention last week, like he should have been
become a
missing person or something. Like,
yeah.
It just, even though they tied up all the loose ends, I think they did a really good job. Like, I still don't think that Alex would have done this in this way.
He wouldn't have left Joe.
No.
And jumped into bed with Izzy.
I don't think he would have done that.
I think he would. I think a realistic Alex Karev would have found a way to, he would have asked Joe, can we move to Kansas?
Yes.
And can my children be a part of our life? And she would have fucking said yes.
Yeah.
Because she understands not having a parent not be in your life.
Yes.
But I think they could have done it as a mixed family.
Yes.
I don't believe he still loved Izzy.
I don't think he did.
Because you know
either.
What they didn't show a flashback of is this last scene with Izzy and him in the locker room where she gives him that whole talk and she's kind of a dick.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm like, oh, pretty much over you and I'm happy for you and go live your life. But like, I've moved on.
Yeah.
Which.
Right. Yeah. He does.
He says like, I've like pretty much tells her like, I've moved on. I'm okay. I'm over it.
Right.
You need to go live your life.
Yeah, they didn't show any scenes from that because
no.
That would contradict.
No.
There's no way he still loved her. So no, I think they did this, but somehow Joe then is like, Joe leaves the show also and says, I'm moving to Kansas.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I don't think she wanted to leave the show.
No, and I don't think they wanted her to.
Right. So they did the best with what they could.
I think so too. Yeah.
But he should have died.
Yeah, definitely been rough. I don't know if Joe would have. I feel like being angry at someone's easier than grieving them.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
But it's kind of like a different type of death. She's still grieving.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like disenfranchised grief. So I don't know.
I do think they sum it all up in the last line when Meredith says there's really no good way to say goodbye. I don't think they could have done this anyway and we would have been happy.
Yeah. And I think even writing that is like a nod to the viewers. Like there's no good way for us to really do this.
So I hope you are okay with what we tried to piece together.
Yeah.
I will say the connection that I did enjoy was Bailey talking to Ben and she says, you know, like Alex Karev, like lived in foster homes and blah, 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 names all these things about him. She says something like he shouldn't be where he is today. And then she says, Joey's future shouldn't be a matter of chance. A child's future can't be a matter of luck. And I felt like that was a fun little tie-in to like this idea of like, so let's not like Alex Karev is a miracle. Let's try to give Joey a chance.
Yeah.
And now, granted, I wish Joey was more a part of the show then, but
yeah, I love then that like Ben agrees and he says, but I just wanted to talk about it. Yeah. He says, we both make big sweeping decisions without each other. And he says like, you had a heart attack and you didn't tell me. And she's like, you change careers like you change sweaters. Like, and he's like, fair, you know, like, so we need to be talking to each other. And then I said, I love how he says, congratulations, Miranda. It's a boy, a teenage boy.
Yeah, I thought that was really great, especially considering all they've gone through.
Yeah. I'm happy they didn't drag that argument out because no. I really do think Ben, like, he gets it. I mean, they ultimately end up adopting another child.
Yeah, and Ben, it's like he wanted, it's almost like he didn't want to give in. Like, he obviously was all for this, but he wanted to prove his point.
Yeah, of like, we can't just make these, like, large life decisions without talking to each other. And he's right. And they both do that. So
Ben and Bailey sometimes remind me of Jake and I, where usually the things we're fighting about are not actual fights.
Yeah.
They're like,
it's about the process.
Yeah, it's just like stupid.
It's not the content.
Right. It's not like we actually disagree.
Yeah.
We're just mad at how the other person did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really still enjoy them as a couple and I wish he was on the show.
I know. I do too.
And I really like that. I liked also the whole part of Richard being at a meeting and talking that through. His tremor makes me nervous.
Yeah. And what's the see one, do one, teach one? Oh, also, I thought it was interesting that it opened with like that classic scene of like, this is your how many ever years as a surgical intern, whatever.
Right.
Like,
yep.
And we see that scene many, or flashback to that scene in many different
Even
episodes.
Even the opener of season 19.
Yeah. So,
Did you remember the case? It was the flashback of Richard and Alex, and it's when Richard is, there's a bloody person in front of him, and Richard can't call time of death, and Alex has to do it for him. Do you know who that was? Richard's like very shaken, and Alex ends up calling time of death for
him. I don't remember.
Me either. I obviously could go back and look it up, but that was like kind of like, I was like, whoa. And I would say my favorite flashback is Christina saying, in your dreams, evil spawn, and Alex shirtless holding the baby. Because that was such like, I remember us being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's such a good guy. Like, yeah. So, that was such a surprise for him to be good with kids.
Yeah. I don't know what my favorite flashback was, but I did think that they did a really good job using them and putting them into the episode, which they don't always do.
No, it was a good one. I'm very nervous for this upcoming one in like a few weeks of Meredith's final episode.
Me too.
I'm sure she'll make appearances, but whatever, like I want it to be good.
I know.
And at this point, I have a lot of resentment towards Meredith Grey / Ellen Pompeo that I feel like I'm not going into it in a I'm going to miss you.
And like a positive headspace. Well, also because I feel like this current season of Grey's hasn't been the best writing.
It's
like
a new show. It's a different show.
Yeah.
It's a spinoff.
It is.
How is Meredith leaving? Like Meredith is leaving the show.
And I mean, our listeners will be the first to remind us that like we were talking about years ago on the podcast that like Shonda and Ellen had an agreement that if any of them, but it's because Grey's makes too much fucking money.
Shonda and Ellen might've had a fight.
Do you think?
Or I think Shonda was like, well, I'm sorry, but you can go. Think about how much money they're saving by letting Ellen Pompeo go.
That's true. Maybe the writing will get better.
Millions of dollars.
Maybe the writing will get better.
Budget cuts. We're going to see all sorts of CGI. Like who, and I'm channeling, who is left? Maggie, Amelia.
Richard.
Link, Owen. Bailey, Owen, Teddy.
Addison comes on every once in a while.
Yeah. Levi, Joe. Did I say Joe? Joe. And then fucking five new interns.
Don't know any of their names.
I literally don't either. One's a shepherd. That's all I know.
Oh, right.
Couldn't name another one.
Yeah, it's a completely different
Kai's
show.
Even Kai's not a regular?
No, they're not. And Peter Gallagher is...
Tom Krasick shows up once. Jesse Williams was just there.
April, yeah. Shows up once. I don't know. This show is just... We can't get too in the weeds here about the current season.
No.
We're probably going to have to do a bonus episode, though, of Meredith's last...
Oh, for sure. I hope it's good.
I do, too.
They burned her house down. I still can't even, like, I get that they were like, she needs to not have a home here.
Because she needs to get out. But
like, really?
That classic home.
Yeah, Sonny, I've been to that home.
Well, the first, I mean, not I that. I know. Yeah. The first one. That looks nothing like.
Not with that weird that, backyard. Yeah. All right, let's do notes and trivia.
Okay, this episode's title originated from the song Leave a Light On, originally sung by Tom Walker.
The song was used in the trailer for Cold as Ice.
It scored 6.3 million viewers.
This is the last episode to feature Justin Chambers as Alex Krev, albeit a voice-only appearance. His last on-screen physical appearance was in My Shot. A stand-in appears in this episode as Alex in the brief scene featuring Alex's life with Izzy, who is also portrayed by a stand-in rather than Katherine Heigl.
This episode features the debut of Chris Carmack's band Life on Eris. Their cover of Turn to Stone is played during the episode.
There was no table read for this episode to ensure that the details of Alex's exit would not leak. The few main actors who appear just showed up to set to film their scenes and were only told then, holy shit, what happened to Alex and what exactly they would film that day. Filming took place on separate days for each actor whose character received a letter. As such, Ellen Pompeo only knew what Meredith's letter said.
The song Turn to Stone was first played in the episode What a Difference a Day Makes when Alex and Izzy got married.
I wonder if that pissed Ellen off and then that started like...
started you know? Down this road. Well, and then, you know, we were talking about how this came out in... 2020.
March 5th, 2020.
Which is wild. So that was like right before COVID. Like, I mean, COVID obviously was happening, but in the United States. Right. Like, and which is just so wild to think about.
I do not associate this episode with COVID.
I do not either. And then, so my point being, so the next season, so then COVID happened and then like everything changed. Like,
yeah, I bet it wasn't as fun anymore.
Yeah, I just wonder like, and, you know, in interviews, Ellen Pompeo has said, I mean, what is this, like 19 years or something? Mm-hmm. Like, think of so many people, like, do not stay at a job that long.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And not just even as, like, an actor. Like,
she talks about kids don't even stay in their homes 19 years. Like, this is a baby. We've raised it. It's going to college.
Yeah, like, it's time to go. I just
wish they were ending it all.
I do, too. I really do. I don't think there is any need to go on with the show with new interns, like... We're just not connected to them.
Also, yeah, you're so right, though. I never thought about that. That, like, they filmed this then, or they probably filmed this maybe a little earlier because there's, what, 3 or 4 more episodes?
Right.
And then the season had to end early. So it's like they did those. They probably thought they were taking, like, a 3-week break. They never went back. And then when they did, it was a fucking shit show.
It was a shit show.
And so...
And they were writing storylines about COVID.
Right. And... I think the one redeeming thing was Meredith wanted to do those scenes with Patrick Dempsey. You know what I mean? Like
she just laid in a bed that
right.
whole season.
And then I think after the beach scenes, she was probably like this season, like, I don't really want to be here anymore.
Yeah. And wow. You saw it interacting.
Wild. Okay. What Catherine Fox Award.
I mean, I feel like it has to go to Alex, right?
Yeah.
It's his last episode.
Yeah, he's got
to
have it.
I mean, even if he did it all in a horrible way, whatever, we're giving it to him. It's his last episode.
Yeah. What are you going to rate it?
I'd probably rate this an 8.5.
I was going to say a 9 too. I would say 9. I'd watch it again. Like,
yeah.
It brings me emotions.
Yeah, like 8.5, 9. Like, yeah. 8.75, I would say.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Let us know, listeners, what you think.
If we really liked it, we're just so shocked when we saw it the first time.
I do remember, like, I remember not, like, hating it.
It was, like, entertaining to watch.
Yes.
Do you remember hearing Izzy and being like,
yeah, like, well, there was, like, I remember there was, like, chatter. Like, what if, like, yeah. he ends up with right. Izzy or whatever? And that was, like, kind of, like, a joke of, like, that'd be crazy.
Do you think Katherine Heigl has watched this episode?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'd so want to know. Like, what's happening over there?
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to call time of death and then we're going to do post-op and I don't know, we might talk about bowling.
We'll just see. Time of death is 1950. I said that really cheerfully. Time of death, everyone, is 1956.
Beep. Beep.